Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
In Louisiana, the warden of Alain Hunt Correctional Center is suspended among some serious allegations at the prison. In Alabama, the second execution via nitrogen in the United States has been carried out. And in Texas, a father accused of starving a four-year-old to death is arrested. Yep. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, October 2nd, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman. It's October 2nd, and it feels good outside.
I love it. Bow season started yesterday. I didn't get to hunt, but I'm going this weekend.
Bow season.
And I got 5 sacks of Mississippi Jumbo peanuts coming.
Come on. That's that's all I needed to know.
Yes, indeed, because you know it's my favorite. Some, right?
Hell yeah. And when are you going to eat every bit of them? I hate them.
Give me that Ziploc.
I do the regular, like, salted ones, and I do some with garlic, and then I do some Cajuns. And this thing's freeze so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's the only thing, I guess it's like when you boil a crawfish, at the end of the boil, you dump ice in them to help cool it off, but yep. It makes them soak up the heat. The season.
Yeah.
And the boiled peanuts the same way, but we don't add ice. You just, once they cool down, you take it on, you put them in the freezer, and they got the juice inside of them anyway. And yep. Good shit. I know it's a southern thing, but you lifers out there up north and everywhere else that don't have boiled peanuts,
you're missing
it's
out.
It's better than it sounds. That's so it. Let's get down some true crime time for Wednesday.
And we're going to start out right here at home in Louisiana. And the Louisiana Department of Corrections has taken decisive action by suspending the head warden at Alain Hunt Correctional in St. Gabriel following serious allegations regarding the treatment of an inmate. The sudden decision made on last Thursday afternoon has raised concern about the conduct within the facility. Reports indicate that the suspension stems from an incident that occurred over the weekend where a guard allegedly employed excessive force against a handcuffed inmate. According to sources, the inmate subsequently reported experiencing pain and was transported to a local hospital for evaluation. Medical staff there assessed the situation and determined the inmate did not sustain any injuries. In light of these allegations, head warden Donnie Bordelon has been temporarily relieved of his responsibilities. As the investigation unfolds, the Department of Corrections issued a statement confirming the suspension and underscoring the seriousness of the matter at hand. They said further, the department relieved Bordelon of his official duties as head warden effective immediately. In addition to Bordelon, another correctional officer at Alain Hunt has also been suspended as part of an ongoing inquiry into the alleged incident. To ensure continuity in leadership during this critical period, Edward Dusty Bickham, the warden at Dixon Correctional Institute, DCI, has been appointed as the interim head warden at Alain Hunt and will oversee operations at the facility until a permanent replacement is appointed. And man, Alain Hunt is under some right now not just this, but drugs, man. They got some serious drug allegations out there.
And Stoller retired. But let me tell you about Dusty Bickham. Dusty and I grew up together. He was two or three years younger than me. We probably used to do some things. I'll just keep my mouth shut, Dusty. But he's been out there for a long time, and he is a very good professional in the correctional department. So
good.
If anybody can turn it around, it'd be him. Yeah, I had a lot of changes because of all the overdose accusations and drug accusations and all this stuff that have been brought to light in the media. And recently when Jimmy LeBlanc retired, I think he got out ahead of the storm, you know, and they knew what was coming, even though this incident just happened.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. They're civil service, and to be suspended, they got some.
Yeah, that's so major.
Something's coming
that's,
up.
Yeah. That's, you can't just suspend somebody.
No. And you know what? I used to tell people, why in the fuck would you hit somebody when they're in handcuffs? I mean,
make you kind feel of like a man.
Exactly what I was going to say. That make you feel like a man and all that bullshit. Well, this next guy deserves to be in handcuffs, and he doesn't deserve to breathe. And he's on trial right now, and it's underway in Texas for Brandon Lee Severa, who's accused of starving his young son to death in 2021. Mm-mm. He's facing a jury trial to determine whether or not he was responsible for starving his four-year-old son to death. And according to Texas Public Radio and a whole bunch of other stations, everybody in Texas is Bexar or Bexar County. Somebody correct me on that, which is going to be the San Antonio area. But the prosecutors in the DA's office allege that 31-year-old Brandon Lee Severa and his then-wife Miranda Casares starved Severa's son Benjamin to death on August 17th of 2021. Now, his trial began on Tuesday, September 24, more than 3 years after Benjamin died in a San Antonio hospital. The Bexar County Medical Examiner's office later ruled that Benjamin's cause of death was starvation. Starvation, y'all. And according to a press release issued by the DA's office in May of 2022, when Severa was indicted, he faced the charge of injury to a child causing serious bodily injury. On Wednesday, September 25th, jurors heard testimony from San Antonio police officer Omar Perez, who was called to Severa's home in 2021 for a welfare check. Benjamin had visible injuries, Perez testified. He had bruises on his eyes and torso, and he was skinny, and I was able to see his bones.
Oh, wow.
That's so disgusting, man. Severa disputed these claims, claiming that Benjamin had behavioral issues that caused him to injure himself, which resulted in bruising, whatever. The defense attorney, Jody Soares, argued during her opening statement that the boy was always small in stature and also claimed that doctors did not raise concerns about his health in the days leading up to his death. The kid was not starved or dehydrated, and it will be scientific evidence, Soares says. And news agencies reported the prosecutor showed the jurors' images of Benjamin's body during the medical examiner's testimony, illustrating how underweight and malnourished the child was. The medical examiner also backed up Perez's claims about bruising on Benjamin's body, testifying that she found bruises during his autopsy. He died of starvation. His death was ruled a homicide, Bexar County Chief Medical Examiner Kimberly Molina testified. He appeared to be underweight and small for his age, she added. And Molina said that Benjamin weighed 28 pounds at the time of his death, and photos showed that his ribs were visible through his chest. Additionally, pediatrician James Lupfar, who treated Benjamin in the San Antonio Hospital, where he was declared dead, testified that he was underweight for his age, and said he agreed with the medical examiner's ruling that Benjamin's cause of death was starvation. In my opinion, there was substantial evidence that Benji had been the victim of starvation leading up to his death, Luke Farr said for the outlet. But anyway, in April of 2023, Benjamin's stepmother, Cesarez, was convicted of the same charge of injury to the child causing seriously bodily injury and was sentenced to 25 years in prison, and good for her. During her trial, prosecutors showed the jury photos taken of the family's refrigerator and Benjamin's bedroom door, both of which were locked with padlocks. Padlocks. Also during Caesar's trial, Benjamin's older brother, identified only as BC, testified that Their stepmom abused Benjamin and forced him to eat hot sauce and hand sanitizer, and also threw his body in the air without catching him. Right? Fucking crazy.
Jesus Christ.
And look, some videos were seized from Cesar's cell phone during the investigation and showed footage of Benjamin shaking and crying as he begged for bread. So, fuck this motherfucker. He's looking at 99 years.
They need to turn his head into a canoe.
People, just most people, 75% of the population.
That is not even a human.
Just don't understand that true evil does exist.
Yeah, really that's does. That. Really there does. Is. That is that's one of the worst stories I've ever heard.
Defenseless child.
It's disgusting.
And you lock not only his bedroom door, but you lock the refrigerator with a padlock. He's begging for bread.
What you man?
Fuck them.
All right. Well, we're going to get right into executions. Probably a good thing for that
this
guy.
This is very interesting. I kind of read on this. Y'all stay tuned.
All right. So for the second time in the United States, a death row inmate has been executed by nitrogen hypoxia. And the state of Alabama has now executed Alan Eugene Miller, the second time that state has put a death row inmate to death using nitrogen gas. Miller died at 6:38 p.m. This was last Thursday and was earlier visited by three attorneys, his brother-in-law, two sisters, brother, spiritual advisor, and a friend. His last meal was a hamburger steak, a baked potato, and French fries.
Good for him.
Before prison officials administrated the flow of nitrogen, Miller said, "I didn't do anything to be in here. I didn't do anything to be on death row." So there you go, your final moments, and you're not taking responsibility.
Tell it to the devil.
Miller reportedly moved his fingers on the gurney as the gas began to flow. He took deep breaths, lifted his head several times, and proceeded to struggle against the restraints, shaking for about 2 minutes, followed by 6 minutes of gasping on and off. Alabama's Department of Corrections Commissioner John Hamm stated his execution went according to procedure. There's going to be some involuntary body movements as the body is depleted of oxygen. So that was nothing we didn't expect. It was the fifth execution since Friday. It said that Freddie Owens, Marcellus Williams, Travis Mullis, all had been put to death in the days before Miller's execution. Emmanuel Littlejohn died Thursday morning. Now, Miller, who was 59, had been convicted of the 1999 murders of Terry Lee Jarvis, Lee Holbrooks, who was 32, and Christopher Yancey, who was 28. The inmate killed the men on August 2nd of that year over suspicions they had been discussing his sexuality. Mm-hmm. Prosecutors said Miller killed Holbrooks and Yancey at their place of employment, then drove to a second business and shot Jarvis. The murders happened where Miller had been previously working, and the victims were found with several bullet wounds. The execution at the William Holman Correctional Facility came days after a report claiming that some of the state's executioners had been accused of violence and misconduct. The Alabama Department of Corrections did not respond to repeated requests for comment on that. Miller had raised his own concerns over how the state planned to put him to death. I bet he did. In January, Kenneth Eugene Smith, another Alabama inmate, became the first person in the world to be executed via nitrogen gas. Witnesses said they saw Smith writhing and thrashing for about 2 to 4 minutes, followed by 5 minutes of heavy breathing. So, look, Alabama's moving on really putting these people to death at a pretty quick clip here.
To talk about a couple things on that. We covered it extensively when it was used the first time in Alabama, and the warden said that however they do it, when they pump the stuff in the rain, he said it took approximately to 5 minutes for the guy to die. But he said he held his breath for almost 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
It's pretty crazy.
All those people that dude killed, they didn't get any hamburger steak and french fries.
No.
And fuck him. And in Louisiana, Governor Landry is actually looking at this process to be used. So it's not a fight about the drugs anymore. But the drug company's not giving the drugs for lethal injection.
Right.
And you know what? Shout out to Alabama for stepping up and doing it. Now, we don't want anybody that's wrongfully convicted to be executed, but motherfuckers like this that killed all these people, fuck them. The law is the law. If you don't have execution on your books, that's fine. That's the state you live in. But some people, and again, you'll never know until you sit across from these idiots and you have to work these murders and stuff like that. Some people deserve the ultimate punishment, and that's just a fact. Do I have any sympathy for a motherfucker that, you know, wiggled a little bit for 6 minutes? Nope, fuck him. It took him a lot longer to kill all the people he killed. And this next person, boy, I tell you what, we're going out to California, and a woman in California was arrested and charged after police say her newborn infant was found on the street alone, okay? The Lodi Police Department wrote on its Facebook that police were dispatched on Thursday, September 26th, after they received a call about an infant found in the Lodi area around 11:40 a.m. Police said numerous patrol and investigative units located the infant, who was pronounced deceased.
Hmm.
Right? Police added that as preliminary investigation found that 29-year-old Lodi native Catherine Grace Copeland abandoned the deceased newborn. Copeland was ultimately arrested and charged with the abandonment of a deceased newborn. And the police worked closely with San Joaquin County District Attorney's Office on charges. They said an incident like this can be difficult and evoke a wide range of emotions. That's the police department said. Not only does it affect our community, but also our first responders, including our officers, dispatchers, firefighters, and emergency medical personnel. Please remember that several organizations and resources are available to help those in need. A bystander had told CBS News that the infant was found behind a mechanic shop.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Another witness told a news station that an employee found the child while on break. When the employee tried to sit down on the floor, they turned around and saw the baby. And this is according to a lady named Sylvia Gonzalez. I wanted to cry when I saw the baby. I just tried to see if it was moving or not, but I don't see anything. Now, following the news, Lodi Fire Battalion Chief Michael Algaray issued a reminder to California residents that a safe surrender system was in place for people who were not able to care for an infant. We give them a bracelet for the child and the mother, a serial number, if you will, and they have 14 days to reclaim the child if they want it. Please bring them to a safe surrender site and you walk away free and clear. According to California Safely Surrendered Baby Program, parent or person with lawful custody can safely surrender a baby confidentially and without fear of prosecution within 72 hours of birth. People can drop off the baby at a public or private hospital, designated fire station, or other safe surrender site. And this law was created in 2001. You know, we've talked about this before when they first came out, like the fire departments having the safe drop boxes, if you will,
yeah,
for a baby and stuff like that. There's just no need for it, bro. If you can't handle your shit, then
give there's other safely options.
There's people who would kill to be able to adopt an infant, you know?
100%.
And if you're going through it, and look, I know, you know, birthing and postmortem traumatic, whatever the fuck it's called, and all that shit is a very real deal, and I hate it, but don't let your baby die.
Nah.
No, you don't have to. You don't have to.
Too many other options out there.
Yeah, right.
All right, we're going to go to, we're going to go to the border. How about that? And in a significant enforcement operations, U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents at the Presidio Port of Entry intercepted a large quantity of prohibited Mexican sausages, totaling 748 pounds of those sausages from a vehicle arriving from Mexico. The incident occurred on September 23rd when a routine inspection led to the discovery not only of this contraband meat, but over 280 pounds, or rather containers, of undeclared prescription medication.
There you go.
Yeah. The vehicle in question was a 2023 GMC Yukon driven by a 43-year-old U.S. citizen. Initially, the driver had declared a cooked meal, but further inspections raised suspicions. Agricultural specialists noted that several suitcases appeared unusually heavy. Upon inspection, one suitcase was found to contain 40 rolls of Mexican sausage. Mexican sausage is prohibited in the U.S. due to its pork content, which poses a risk of introducing foreign animal diseases. Such diseases could severely impact the American pork industry and economy in accordance with the USDA regulations. These seized sausages were destroyed, and the driver received a $1,000 fine. Additionally, the official seized the vehicle and more than $7,600 in concealed currency. The inspection also revealed a substantial stash of prescription medications, including tramadol, which is a Schedule IV controlled substance. Yeah. Other medications confiscated included fentermina,
alzepram, which is Xanax. Fentermina is kind of like an Adderall. It's a diet drug.
Clonazepam
is also a benzo, just like Xanax.
Diazepam.
Same thing. It's all the same shit.
Pharmapram.
Yeah, any all those are in the benzo family. It's like a sedative.
Ampagran.
I'm not sure about that.
And then sulfamethoxyl.
No idea.
That sounds like something that would be for sinuses. Sound like Sudafed. Right. Yeah. All the items were hidden in an attempt to evade legal declaration requirements. Benito Reyes Jr., which is the port director, emphasized the need for travelers to be aware of regulations. Pretty sure this person knew the regulations. Yeah. That, you know, if they're carrying $7,600 worth of scripts. Now, I will say this. I've heard of people going over the border and buying scripts because they're just cheaper when you don't have insurance.
I used to do it. Back in the day when and it was legal, you go and get 3 months worth and you declare it at the border. You had to go see a Mexican doctor and you had to go to a Mexican pharmacy, and it's cheap. It was cheap AF. And then when you get to the border, say, you got anything to claim? Yep. And you give it to them.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the issues.
Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and the occasional bloating and gas, or no desire to be intimate with someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Hey, y'all. Changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later. Total legal until fucking rehypnols, which is the date rape, it became the date rape drug. And they were sold in Mexico, and people were bringing across, and it was legal. And, yeah. And you bring in 90, and they were selling them for like fucking $20 a pill. But then people were using it to knock people out and rape them. And now you can't even find rehypnol in the dark net.
No kidding.
They don't even, nobody's even fucking with it. But so they changed the laws, and it is what it is. But well, I mean, that's,
Yeah, this guy, and yeah, he was.
But, and look, I'm gonna tell you straight up, it's much cheaper. The that's why they anywhere you cross in it, I hadn't done it in a lot of years because of all the gang violence and shit. But anywhere you cross, they've got 40 pharmacies.
Right,
and people stand in the street like, you need to see the doctor. You need to see the doctor. A lot of them are going for nefarious.
Steroid,
yeah, steroid. Yeah, right. A lot of them are going for nefarious reasons, but a lot of people will get they would get buses. From Baton Rouge, you buy your bus ticket, round trip, and they would drive straight to the border. You get out at the time where you get there when the pharmacy's open, you go see the doctors, and you spend a day, and you get back on the bus, and you come back with your prescriptions. And a lot of people took it and because fucking medicine is expensive as fuck in the United States.
Right.
But and then now you go down there and you get killed for whatever. I don't know. All right. Go across the pond, right? And, well, the suspect in Julie Patterson's gruesome 1999 murder proudly confessed, but they still got questions about it 25 years later, Jim Chapman. So a British man remains behind bars more than 25 years after he was convicted in one of the most harrowing murder cases in modern English memory. David Harker, known in the media as the cannibal killer.
Oh.
Was convicted in 1999 of murdering Julie Patterson, a 32-year-old mom of four, whom he had met just weeks prior. The detail of Harker's crime continued to shock and disturb 25 years after the gruesome murder took place in Teesside, about 70 miles north of Leeds. Now, looking back at Patterson's April 1998 murder, which occurred after she and Harker, then he was 24, met up at a local park to drink. So Patterson was a mother of four who was struggling with alcoholism and depression at the time she met Harker. And Patterson's partner, Alan Taylor, told police that Patterson would often disappear on drinking binges, but would always show up at home afterwards. However, when Patterson went to meet up with Harker to have a drink at a local park in April of 1998, the mom never came home. And after she went missing, police searched for a month, hoping to find her body. But the mom of four was only found in pieces. It wasn't until questioning of Harker's friends that investigators began to understand the brutal truth of what happened. Harker has told friends and psychiatrists at Allsworth Hospital that he killed her, the lead investigator, Superintendent Barry Pert, testified in court. He also said he had eaten part of her thigh, fried it, and eaten it with pasta and cheese.
As opposed to farmer beans and Chianti?
Oh, my God, man. Harker told friends he one day wanted to become a serial killer. And that he read books about other murderers. He pleaded guilty in February 1999 after telling a shrink that people like me don't come from those films. Them films come from people like me.
Oh, Lord, right? Listen to him.
And Harker was convicted of Patterson's murder in 1999. He still never told authorities where he discarded Patterson's head and limbs. The news outlets reports that Taylor, Patterson's partner at the time, was tormented by not knowing where his loved one's remaining body parts were hidden, and even once himself began digging around areas he believed his late partner's body might be buried. The Gazette reported that while in prison, Harker also withheld the information from Patterson's first husband, who wrote a letter to his ex-wife's killer, pleading with the convicted murderer to tell investigator where the woman's head and limbs were buried. "You're correct. When you speak of decency, I have none," Harker reportedly told Patterson's ex-husband.
"Jesus.
I have no inhibitions, remorse, or regret, and therefore care not one bit if your wife has a full body burial or not." Now, the BBC reported that Harker was denied parole in October 2021 under Helen's Law. It's a law put in place to make it harder for convicted murderers to receive parole if they refuse to tell authorities where they discard their victims' remains. And I think that's
sounds
a
like
law,
a good law.
Right?
Yeah,
we need to push for that one. But I joke about wondering what human flesh tastes like, but I ain't never going to eat it, right? And then this dude's frying it up. Having it with pasta. That's evil.
Definitely evil. I mean, look how he responded to the husband. Yeah,
I don't have remorse. You know, fuck yourself. I don't care if you get a full barrel of body or not.
Wow, man.
He already confessed to eating her.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hannibal Lecter Jr. right there.
Like, hey, he said that, those movies aren't made about Hannibal Lecter.
That's right.
They're made about him.
Yeah. He's proud of his shit.
Yes, indeed.
Sick. All right, we're going to go to Long Island, New York. Get a rope.
Get a rope.
And we're going to tell you about a man who managed to escape police custody by stealing a patrol car
following his
arrest. So at approximately 5:30 a.m. this past Friday, state troopers, they pull over a 37-year-old suspect. Now, they noticed, Woody, that he was erratically driving.
Right.
So what would that suggest to you?
He might
be intoxicated. Right,
might be intoxicated.
Yeah. So they pull him over, and they say, hey, get out of the car. He complies, and they say, hey, we're gonna do a little sobriety test. So they do the whole thing. They, you know, with the finger and right. follow my fingers.
Follow the horizontal.
Yeah, the shit you can't do when you're sober. They do that.
It's called horizontal gaze and nystagmus test.
Yeah.
You're following the finger. You're looking for a lack of smooth pursuit. You're looking on onset of where the eyeball's jerking a maximum deviation. And I forget what the other one was. And 30 years since I've done one.
Well, they did all that, yeah. and they made him walk the line and, you know, do jumping jacks and everything, yeah. and eventually
stand up on one pinky.
I'm pretty convinced no matter what you do, if they think you're drunk, you're going to jail. You can walk that line perfect.
I used to do that to my friends after I learned the test and shit. I learned that I can't do the finger test, the horizontal gaze nystagmus test on them if I'm drunk too, because my eyes are jerking.
Yeah, you're following your own finger. So they do all that. He fails in, you know, with flying colors. They take him into custody. They handcuff him.
Right.
And they put him in the back of the patrol vehicle. Mm-hmm. However, things took an unusual twist shortly thereafter. Now, while the officers were distracted, the man skillfully maneuvered his handcuffs from behind his back to the front. Hey, some people are, what do they call it, double jointed?
Oh, that used to piss me off so bad, right?
They can just put it over their head.
And then, look, they didn't never tell you they were doing it.
Yeah.
And then you go get them out of the jail, and the motherfuckers that got handcuffs in front, that'd make me mad as a motherfucker. Because, I mean, you might have had nefarious thoughts.
Right. Yeah. Well, he did. He definitely had nefarious thoughts because he did that. Mm-hmm. Then he unfastens his seatbelt. He climbs into the front of the patrol car, and he then drives away from the scene, leaving law enforcement officers stunned. Authorities quickly initiated a search, and the stolen patrol car was located about 3 miles away. However, the escaped suspect... he jumped out and hauled ass. They did find him in a nearby cemetery. So that was his second arrest for the night. And now he's charged with like a shit pile of offenses. So my question is, how much do you think that this guy is going to get ribbed for this happening? I bet his chief rips his ass.
I've seen it happen. I can tell you a couple quick
stolen
stories.
Patrol call.
Listen, we used to fuck with each other all the time when we were in uniform patrol. Like, we had the old Crown Vicks, and you could take the hubcap off and put rocks inside of them and put it back on, and you get down around and it's going, we do it to your buddies, right? And a lot of times, like, you pull in the back of the jail, and that's where the inmates is your car washing and shit. And some of the best car washers you ever had. Well, matter of fact, one of them got out, Ivy Williams, got out and opened his own detailing shop.
Come on.
He'd make your shit shine like nobody's business.
Wow.
But it was the 4th of July, and I'm not going to say the name, but you know who you are, and I know you listen. 4th of July, I'd go over there before 6 o'clock p.m. shift began. I'd go around 5, park my shit in the car wash thing, go inside, and look, 9 times out of 10, I'd leave it running because we had all the computers, electronics, and everything else. Yeah. And you're inside. You have to drive through the gate. You get to the back gate. It's kind of like a Sally Port, and you have to call in, and they have to open the gate for you. You pull into the thing, then I'd go into you'd leave your weapon locked up, and you'd go in, and back then, the 911 call center was inside the jail. So we'd go in there and hang out with the dispatchers or whatever and get my car washed, shit like that, and then go 10-8. And well, my buddy comes in, and I hadn't left the room yet, and then he had left. He went to leave, and he came back in, and he was like, what'd you do with my car? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you moved my fucking car. Dude, we used to move the cars and shit like that, hide them, just fun shit, right? I said, I swear to God, I didn't touch your car. He said, you're fucking lying, bro. I said, I'm not fucking lying. And I said, where was it? I said, you got here after me. He said, it was parked in the car wash detail thing. I said, motherfucker, I promise you, I didn't move your car. holy shit, one of the inmates that was a car washer fucking guy in his shit. And then look, that gate still had to be open. He called it in on the radio, open the gate. And they opened the gate for him, and he hauled ass. And then ultimately, he ended up wiping out in the car. Now, he wasn't handcuffed and shackled. He was a trustee. But he ended up crashing the car, and they called him. But look, always around.
Wait, I got to know, though. What did Brian Paul do then?
No, what did Brian Paul do? It wasn't Brian Paul. Brian Paul knows who it was. Everybody in the sheriff's office knows who it was. And look, this dude's probably the best fucking, one of the best cops I ever knew. But shit just happened,
yeah,
right? Anytime around Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July, shit like that, not so much Easter, but the rest of the holidays, motherfucker wants to be home. Or they want to be out and about, right?
Yeah.
Fuck it, everybody's partying and da-da-da-da. If I can escape today, I'm going to escape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Wow, interesting story. And you mentioned holidays. That's also where the most suicides take place.
Ooh, in prison. That's true. Not only in prison, in the public.
Well, in the public, too,
people, this brings back a lot of memories. All right, well, keeping in the context of cutting people up and shit, the remains of Justy Stillwell, who was 41, were found the same day his family reported him missing, as according to police. A suspect has been arrested after dismembered body parts of a school custodian were found by a teenager. Investigators in Bay City, Michigan, responded to reports of human remains found near a boat launch on Wednesday, September the 18th. The following day, authorities identified the victim as 41-year-old Justy Stillwell of Bay City. And on Wednesday, September 25th, Bay City public safety officials arrested a 40-year-old man in connection with the discovery. Authorities did not name the suspect, but he was identified as Robert Tweedley Jr. by WNEM, MLive, and the Midland Daily News. Following his arraignment in a Bay City court on Friday, where he was charged with one count of open murder, one count of disinterment, and mutilation of a body in connection with Stillwell's death. Bay City public safety officials say Stillwell's family reported missing on September 18th, just hours before his remains, two arms and lower legs, including the feet, were found near a boat launch along the banks of the Saginaw River. Discovery was reportedly made by a 16-year-old girl walking by the boat launch. She spotted a foot in the water and notified her grandfather, right? Mm. The girl's grandfather, John Donaldson, said he initially thought it was a Halloween prank and that the foot looked like it belonged to a doll. After realizing it was a human foot, Donaldson called 911. And while the two waited for police, the teenager spotted a hand as well. The following day, Stillwell's car was found by his family at a nearby park. And on Wednesday, same day Tweedley was arrested, authorities also found additional human remains believed to be Stillwell's in another undisclosed location of the city. Following identification of the victim, T.L. Handy Middle School, where Stillwell worked, issued a statement to the news and said, Justy was a valued member of our Handy family, and we know that his loss will be felt deeply by many. Our thoughts are with Justy's family and those affected by this loss. Now, the suspect has entered a plea of not guilty to both charges, and he's being held on $1 million bond.
Wow.
School custodian.
And for the record, disinterment is the process of digging up a body.
Yeah, so that's also it threw me off there, but that, besides I'm blind AF, my glasses are blurry. but I know disinterment, I know what it means, but I never heard that as a, well, I guess maybe I'd heard of it as a charge, but I didn't know how it related to a dude that's hacked up.
Yeah.
And just got reported missing. I don't know.
Crazy people out there, Woody Overton.
And again, it's hunting season again. And every time we do these stories, and we do them all the time, I think I know how fucking hard it is to cut an animal up.
Yeah.
I do all my own processing and shit, and it's not easy. I can't imagine how hard it is to cut a human body up.
It's me neither. Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that one. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, y'all. Let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it, and it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's join, joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
All right. How about that? A mile high crime. And we're going to go right outside of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
I've been there. Beautiful place.
Yeah. Bull riding and all kinds of stuff go on in Cheyenne. And we're going to take you to a fortunately desolate part of Interstate 25 in Cheyenne.
Let me interrupt you. Yep. Everything up there is fucking
desolate. Oh, I'm sure.
When I drove, the first time I drove up there, I went through Colorado. I said, you know what? I'm going to go through the mountains to get to Salt Lake. I'm going to drive up to Wyoming.
Yeah.
When you get on that interstate, and if they tell you it's 175 miles to the next fucking gas station, I mean, you better get you some gas.
Yeah. Because
there's nothing. And Cheyenne is beautiful when you come into it. But there's places out there where you can't pick up a radio station.
Yeah.
And there's no speed limit. It used to not be. And a speed limit, you could drive as fast as you fucking want to.
Yeah.
But big trucks had to drive. I think their max back then was like 75 or 80 or something like that. I'm sure it's changed now. But look, it's like the Autobahn.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, it was like that because a viral video going all over the place from a family known as the Dutton family, no relation, I'm sure, to the the Yellowstone crew. They were driving to their daughter's softball game. They're minding their own business, and an airplane starts to land on the highway right in front of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you're driving down the interstate and here comes an airplane. The Wyoming Highway Patrol told the public about this rare and once in a lifetime occurrence. The plane in question was a single engine personal airplane that needed to land and land quickly. The Duttons told reporter Levi Dutton, the head of the Dutton family, he told reporters that when he saw the plane getting larger and larger and coming closer, he said to his family, "I'm pretty sure he's landing." The dramatic clip captured by him shows them driving along when all of a sudden you see a plane. It starts coming into view. As the plane lands, Miss Dutton can be heard saying, "There it is, just a plane on a highway." The pilot, obviously understanding the rules of the road, also applies to them. He slowly lands in the right lane, then proceeds to pull his plane over into the emergency lane, exactly like a car would do if it was having problems. Right. So the family did the right thing, and they pull over to see if the pilot was okay and that his unexpected landing wasn't a medical emergency. Fortunately, the pilot was fine. He is also, luckily, an airplane mechanic who realized his plane needed to come down and be repaired before he had to make a crash landing. The Duttons, who said they were the only drivers who stopped, watched the pilot open the port, drain out some fuel, then check it in a vial. The pilot was able to fix whatever issue it was quickly and asked the Duttons to help stop traffic so he could take off again.
Get the fuck out.
Enter the Wyoming State Police to help just in time. And believe it or not, the pilot was able to get back up in the air and take off. And
that's
he
crazy,
kept on flying. Crazy. Now, if anybody who's listened to this or me or I'm sure Woody had seen this, it would be a story we would tell to the day we died.
For sure.
You know?
And I can only think that, I mean, those interstates, I say it, how Macon it is up there. I mean, you might go however long without passing another car.
Yeah, he's just lucky it wasn't Atlanta, Georgia.
Look, it happened in Baton Rouge right there on Plank Road. Dude took off and tried to land and crashed in some cars and shit, but he lived.
Oh, wow.
And I'm pretty sure if you know your shit's about to crash anyway, you're going to be like, I'm going to take my chance getting hit by a car rather than just fall down and die anyway.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, that's your mile high crash.
Do you ever want to be a pilot?
Yeah.
Besides Top Gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the only pilot I wanted to be. Communicate, fly upside. I was inverted.
Yeah.
Flip y'all.
The international peace sign.
I was inverted.
Peace. I flew. Dr. John Piker, he's deceased now, took me up in his plane, and he'd fly from this place by Mississippi to Baton Rouge every day and work and stuff like that. But I got to go up, and once we took off, he let me fly and turn around and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, and I actually know I have a couple of friends who are actual pilots and they have their own planes. They're not as expensive as what you would think.
I got another friend, Matthew Peterson. I think he made the rank of general in the Army, but I knew he was at least a colonel, I talked to him about doing it. I just never had the time to do it.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. My youngest son is thinking about piloting.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
All right. Well, we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. October is here.
Yep.
Ooh, Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest. That's right.
I don't know why it's always got to come back to beer. Jim Chapman. Anyway, love and appreciate.
It always goes back to beer.
Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you for listening and liking and all that good podcaster shit.
That's it. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Everton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details. Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.